Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Just quickly before we get into the word of the year for the Oxford Dictionary in 2024, Jess is taken over the studio, got sending minions out to do work for it.
I've not sent minions.
There is a Christmas tree in the studio. She's got the digital, the head of digital, printing a photo of
He made me into a Christmas angel, which I am.
To put you on top of the Christmas tree.
Thank you, Chappie, from our digital department.
He's got a real job to do.
It looks amazing. Did you even laminate it, Chappie?
We don't need it. Okay, so that's what, and this is happening while we're on air, mind you. So, I mean, if only we had 6 hours before the show started to get this sorted.
I might need one for my own Christmas tree at home. That looks amazing.
I mean, for someone that's running the digital department, that's actually quite subpar. Anyway, I want to talk about the Oxford Dictionary's Word of the Year for 2024. Now, all these dictionaries, they have a go. They get in the spotlight. They say, hey, here are the words for this year, which being 2024.
What are the words we've heard so far?
What do you mean we've heard so
far? Well, we've already had a couple of dictionaries reveal
Remember
their
that,
words.
That Colesworth one? That was the worst one. Australian dictionary one. Brat, I believe, was the Macquarie Dictionary Word of the Year. Like Charlie XCX popularized that with her album Brat.
And I didn't hate that. I liked that.
Technically, your Brat summer started 3 days ago, if you identify as a Brat. let's go through the top six. Now, 37,000 people participated in submitting and voting for the Word of the Year for 2024. I will read them to you. You tell me what you think won.
Okay.
So, dynamic pricing.
Oh, okay. We're going into boring territory again.
Yep. Demure.
I like demure.
Slop.
What's slop? Okay, sorry. Slop. Why ask questions?
Yeah, exactly. Romanticy. That's one we've
seen
this year. Brain rot.
Oh, yes. I've heard that.
And law. L-O-R-E.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Law.
I'm hoping it was demure, but I have a feeling...
But that's because you kept saying very demure, very
Yeah, mindful. I have a feeling it's going to be brain rot. 100%,
it is brain rot. Brain rot, for those of you that aren't familiar, it is the supposed deterioration of a person's mental or intellectual state, especially viewed as the result of overconsumption of material, in particular online content, considered to be trivial or unchallenging.
It's like what when I used to go over to my mum and dad's place and my dad would watch like 6 hours of like a Trump rally. My sister would be like, you've got brain rot.
Yeah. Bang on example there, Jess. And it is, I guess it's one of those things. And I mean, with the social media ban that is going to be coming into place in just over a year's time, for where 16 is going to be the age where you can start using social media compared to what it has been, where just anyone can sign up. They're worried because there's been studies and they're saying, brain rot, well, not brain rot, but the things that being on social media at that age can do to your brain.
Yeah.
And the way we're consuming media
at the
moment.
We still don't really even know the full effects of it.
No. So brain rot is the word of 2024. So all these words will be added to the Oxford Dictionary. So there you go. Demure's in there.
Excellent.
I mean, demure was in there.
Yeah,
always, but
it's just got a new context.
Maybe it's got like a star next to it. They're like, oh, one of the
There's
big
There's a picture
hitters.
Of me in there.
Because last year it was... No, there wouldn't be, Jess.
I'm very demure.
We almost passed by that.
I'm very demure.
I don't think forcing someone in the digital department to make you the angel on top of a Christmas tree is very demure or very mindful.
It's very brat, though.
It is very brat. So maybe you're reading the wrong dictionary because I feel like that's not what's going on here. Well, good use of work time by all.
This is Tim and Jess.
Tim, recently this week, a little new addition has popped up in the office.
The way you're wording it, it sounds like a new child has started working here.
Basically, two new children have started working here.
That's more accurate.
Because at lunchtime for the last couple of days, you have brought out your 7-in-1 board game, which is essentially your cheap chess set.
I threw 6 of the games away immediately because just want to play chess. Will from the newsroom and I, Will's definitely more into chess than I am. I've recently re-entered the chess game. Used to play it a lot when I was a kid playing against Dad, but I was like, you know what? I like solving puzzles. Like some of the Wordle ones and all that, that's not the type of thinking that I like.
Right.
puzzles and like chess, I like solving the problems.
I don't really understand how chess works. Yeah, I've never played. But watching you and Will at lunch is very entertaining because usually it just involves one of you screaming.
Oh, there was a moment where I ended up with my head in my hands and I was swearing.
No!
Because I realized what I'd done. And chess is like, I'm not going to bore everyone with the details of chess, but
I've seen the Queen's Gambit. I get it.
Yeah, you get it.
But I was talking to you at lunch today as the game was going on, and I said, how do you plan on tackling this with your son, Jack? Because eventually one day you're going to sit that sweet boy down and teach him how to play chess. And are you going to let him win, or are you going to do what my father did and never let us win at anything ever and constantly just make sure that he beat us at every game we played?
I think the younger he is, because it's fun. Like you can see the pure joy.
You want him to have that face. The feeling of winning.
Again, he's only 1.5, so currently his version of winning is if I don't catch him when he runs down the hallway. He's like, what a rush, what a thrill. But but then there'll probably be a point where I will go, all right, well, no, like let's see what happens if I actually try. Well, not that I'd try. Like, let's see what happens if I am actually not hindering myself here. I just want to see what happens. Because he beats you
10 games in a row,
that's
you bring Will in.
Fear. That's my big fear. I'll be like, don't make me bring Will from work. He's very good. Dad's never beaten him. He's only ever got stalemates.
I thought 5-2-2-3-2-9-5-5. Do you let your kid win?
I would love to know from my dad. Because we would play chess, and the way that it would work is we would have a box on top of the fridge that I couldn't reach, and it had like chocolates, like little bags of Maltese and stuff. And if I could beat Dad at chess, then I would get like a little chocolate or something.
Oh, incentive.
But like Dad's...
Is that why you're always drooling on the chessboard? If you've been conditioned.
But Dad's like out bush at the moment, so there's no... Yeah. I can't even get a hold of him to be like, did you ever...
Did you let me win?
Did you let me win? Because now I'm questioning... everything about it. But that was definitely when I was like 8+ years old.
Yeah, I feel like there's pros and cons to letting your kids win. And I want to hear about them. 5-2-2-3-2-9-5-5. Should you let your kids win at different games?
I would like to hear from different generations of parents.
Yeah.
So like parents that have got older kids now or parents that have got really young kids, kind of. Let's get a whole different sample source. I have seen something that I started this year. So on my kids' birthdays, what I want to do every year is a race at the park, 50 meters. Jack's first birthday, my son absolutely minced him. Don't mind if I say so myself. He wasn't walking at the time. Huge advantage.
Yeah.
Looking forward to his second birthday. I imagine he might be a little bit faster, but I think I've got
him
covered.
He's pretty speedy these days.
He's actually faster than I was hoping. I'm getting a little bit nervous. But I want it to be, like, I can't wait for, like, in 10 years when he starts getting that little bit, and I'm going, next year's going to be a bit of a bit of a trouble. But in the race, I'll never let him win until he actually defeats me.
Other games, you might just... Yeah.
He can go. Yeah. That's fun.
Dave from Hamlin Heights, you have two kids of your own. Are you letting your kids win, or is it a lesson for you?
Absolutely not. Never letting them win unless they can honestly win themselves. We play Connect Four. Connect Four is a good family game. Or Trouble. Love a good game of Trouble.
I love Trouble, yeah.
Trouble's one that's like if she wins, she wins. But Connect Four, I don't think she's ever won a game. I smoke her every single time.
Connect Four is a lot of strategy.
I like that you're saying the times that she has beaten you with Trouble, you're like, well, that's a silly game. That's a luck-based game, but it doesn't count.
And it is.
You. It's a matter of who rolls the dice, Tim.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Okay.
Oh, and if you can get a six to get out, but if you're on that board, you are in trouble.
But
like,
Dave,
I'm coming.
I imagine when you were growing up, and say if like one of your parents was always like would never let you win, as a kid you would have been so frustrated. Don't you want to like be able
devastated.
To like? You were devastated. Don't you want to offer your kids the opportunity to like feel that victory every now and then?
No, see, but I feel like I'm not a bubble wrapped kid because of it.
Dave's tough.
Dave, you are a blunt force. object, I'll give you that when you call through. We respect your opinions on it. So you think, don't let them win. If they ever can win, they will win.
Yeah, I think that's why it raises a tougher kid, I believe.
All right. Mm. Couple of tough nuggets coming out of Dave. There you go. Thank you very much.
Tim and Jess, the podcast.
I'm a big believer. If you approach your life with a positive attitude, it can really help you when things are getting a little bit meh, a little bit average.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you just try and see the positive sides, that can be helpful.
You are
right?
Definitely the most one of the most positive people I know, and I think that would shock a lot of people to know.
It's because I sound grumpy, but I'm positive that I know that we can all do this together. But I understand that at the same time, you need to surround yourself with positive things and positive people to make sure that that's something that's in your life, right? I've seen something over in India. I think this would help not only the radio station, but I think it would help many different workplaces across Geelong, Surf Coast and the Bellarine.
Okay.
There's a university that set up a campus and they've decided to house a group of certain animals because they think it'll increase the positivity of the campus, of not only the students, but also the administrators, the teachers, the lecturers, the professors, all those kind of things.
I have seen this, and I think it's an interesting choice.
How do we get 5 to 7 cows in this radio station? They've got cows.
Yeah.
They've got cows. I've seen a few. I'm pretty sure Iona College just out near Armstrong Creek does this. There's some cows next to the school.
Really?
And I know students look after them. And I want my son to go to that school.
Yeah,
because,
fair enough.
Purely because of that. I need...
What is it about the cow that releases positivity like
that?
Cows
are the best.
Because I've seen like TikToks of people who have cows and they're like, cows are just big dogs.
They are. They're beautiful. I was lucky enough. My pa, he was a cattle farmer. There were cows around everywhere where we grew up. And I miss cows in my life. I can't remember the last time a cow like did one of those deep like... at me and just, you know, that makes you feel good.
That was a very good cow.
And I would love, even if it's like a petting zoo, but we just have cows.
Just
and people
cows.
Can come up and they can just pat them on the fence, feed them some food.
Mm-hmm.
Cows doing cows. What do you reckon? Because I'm trying to keep up my positive lifestyle, but I feel like that if I'm not getting cows involved, how can I continue to be
positive? We were talking to the new mayor about his plans to revitalize.
Stretch Contel.
Yep. He wants to revitalize the CBD.
Market Square.
Thank you. I'm so glad you were picking up what I was putting down.
Cows on every level.
I mean, I was just going to say top floor. Top floor petting zoo.
Well, no, cows are tricky. Once they go upstairs, they can't go, like, they're one of those ones where if they go upstairs, they can't go downstairs.
There's a lift at Market Square.
Yeah, but I don't know the costs of getting a bigger lift for cows.
Fair enough.
I imagine there is an in-house, like, behind
the scenes. Okay, we move all of the shops to the second floor, bottom floor, farm.
Cows. Honestly, I think it might be the greatest business idea of the modern century.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Because I want to see it. And I feel like if we all had a little bit more moo in our lives, we would be a bit more positive. Because how can you stay down when there's a cow?
Stretch did tell us that we could call any time. He did say he would live to regret that. Did we call him?
He hasn't even been mayor for a week. I'm happy.
Is he even officially, has he been sworn in?
I'm not exactly sure on the details. I saw him with his mayoral robes.
Yeah. Look and swish.
And his big goblet or whatever it is that the mayor's
They do give you an official goblet. Yes,
massive,
they do.
Not a goblet. It's like a big, it's like a mace almost, but it's not a weapon. It's like it's like a pretty mace.
What are they called?
I don't know. That's why I'm calling it a pretty mace, Jess.
You called it a goblet.
I know. But I think we need to get more cows.
Spire? Spur.
No. Look, get some cows in
anyway,
your life.
Anyway, text Stretch. I think we get him on the show.
I might call him for this one. Easier to explain. This is Tim and Jess. This time yesterday, Jess, we were discussing someone on TikTok who had made the news because their out-of-office email auto-reply was a little bit dramatic and their boss was like,
it was too
calm
much.
Down.
Yeah.
They were like telling stories or doing like fun historical facts and all these things. We saw that it didn't work. She didn't understand why everyone wasn't getting it. We tried our hand. Well, I asked AI to create three different options for someone that lives in Geelong, like an appropriate but fun out of office email, because a lot of people will be taking some kind of leave over the next month or so.
AI got really excited about the 1850s for some reason.
I asked it to like include some fun stuff about Geelong and you really leaned into the 1850s. So I've actually spent the last day, I said to you, I was like, look, I will craft, I'm not going to use AI for this. I will craft what I believe to be the perfect out of office or annual leave email reply for somebody that lives in Geelong, Surf Coast, Bellarine.
Right.
So
okay. You've gone real specific.
Yep. I wanted it obviously to be appropriate. That was the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want it to be too casual. I didn't want it to be too like business.
Right.
You know, because at the end of the day,
keep things light. It's summer.
Keep things light. Yeah. So this is, and keep a keen ear out for the end, because that is where I really send the message home why this is perfect for someone from Geelong, Surf Coast, or the Bellarine.
Okay.
All right, here we go. I'll just use you as my like backup contact.
Sure, and naturally.
Like, I'll just weave some of this in to make it kind of make sense. Hi there. I'm currently out of the office, enjoying some much-needed time off from the, let's say, the 20th of December until the 5th of January.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm away, my inbox will be taking a break too. If it's urgent and can't wait, you can reach out to Jess at this website. Otherwise, I'll get back to you as soon as I return, hopefully refreshed and ready to tackle your message. Thanks for your patience. Go Cats.
I like what you did there.
I wanted it to be subtle.
Yes, it was.
What do you think?
At the start, I was like, sounding pretty generic. And then you really brought it home.
Haymaker. And
yeah.
Can you understand why it's perfect for someone
naturally
from Geelong to say, go Cats at the end of it?
Yeah.
Because even if you don't barrack for the Cats, I think that will be generally well received to the people that are getting that email response.
Not for any other football team supporters, but sure, if you're a Cats fan, which we all are here.
If you're an animal fan just in general, then it's like, okay, go Cats. Yeah. Meow. So, thoughts? Is that something that we can put up on the socials and then people can copy paste it, put it into their email signature?
I think it's not bad.
After the last 2 days of me bringing this up, you know what you have done? Nothing. You have not contributed. You have not suggested anything.
Well, I wrote my own, but mine are not Geelong specific like yours. So I think I'll just leave
pretty sure
it.
You're out of office. It just says, call Tim. I'm busy.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.